Joshua 7, beginning at verse 1. And what we hear now is God's word. But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, east of Bethel, and said to them, "Go up and spy out the land." And the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not have all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for they are few." So about 3,000 men went up there from the people. And they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai killed about 36 of their men and chased them before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted and became like water. And then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, he and the elders of Israel. And they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would that we had been content to dwell beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say when Israel has turned their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name?" The Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. Therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Get up. Consecrate the people and say, 'Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow.' For thus says the Lord God of Israel, 'There are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought near by your tribes. And the tribe the Lord takes by lot shall come near by clans. And the clan that the Lord takes shall come near by households. And the house of the Lord takes shall come near man by man. And he who is taken with the devoted things shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done an outrageous thing in Israel." So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel near, tribe by tribe. And the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought near the clans of Judah, and the clan of the Zerahites was taken. And he brought near the clans of the Zerahites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought near his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel, and give praise to him, and tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me." And Achan answered Joshua, "Truly, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and took them. And see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent. And behold, it was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. And they took them out of the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the people of Israel. And they laid them before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the cloak and the bar of gold, and his sons and daughters, and his oxen and donkeys and sheep and his tent and all that he had. and they brought them up to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why did you bring trouble on us? The Lord brings trouble on you today." And all Israel stoned him with stones. They burned them with fire and stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his burning anger. Therefore, to this day, the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, we have together been looking at the story of God's work in the life of His people to bring them into the land of Canaan. And it's been a story of God continually encouraging the people, encouraging them to be strong and courageous, to go in. God would fight for them. The encouragement of having the report of Jericho, how people were afraid of the Israelites coming. God encouraged them through allowing them to celebrate circumcision and the Passover once again. And last time, that glorious story of the Battle of Jericho and how those walls came tumbling down. The people didn't have to raise a finger. God went ahead of them and destroyed Jericho for them. It's been a story again and again of God's faithfulness and His blessing to His people. Which is why tonight, we are so jarred by the way the story in chapter 7 begins. But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. God had blessed them again and again and again and again. But this morning, this evening, the story takes a different turn. The people of Israel break faith with God. Because Achan takes some of those devoted things for himself. Remember last week, children, everything was to be devoted to the Lord. Everything in Jericho given over to Him. That was God's instruction for His people. Achan took some of the things devoted for himself. And because of that, we have the story of Achan and the Valley of Achor. Now, we often, when we think of Joshua, think about the Battle of Jericho. We don't often think of Achan at Achor. Achor, children, means trouble. Achor means trouble. Tonight, we're going to hear the story of how Achan's sin brought trouble upon him, trouble upon Israel, in the Valley of Achor. Achan chose to sin against God. And his sin was not a small sin, not an insignificant sin. It may kind of seem that way just reading the story. After all, everything in Jericho had been given over to God. Everything had been devoted to Him. And all Achan takes is a couple little things. He takes a cloak. He takes a little gold. He takes a little silver. Everything else God got. What's the big deal with Achan just taking a little bit for himself? But we're reminded that with God, the call to obedience is an absolute call. God doesn't want sort of obedience. God doesn't want kind of obedience. God calls for total obedience. We talked about that last time. Totally devoted to the Lord. And so Achan's sin, while maybe seeming to be not such a big deal, certainly had big consequences. Consequences for him, for his family, and for the people of Israel. It was not a small sin. And it was not a secret sin. Now sometimes we think of the things that we do as maybe secret sins. Achan somehow, we don't even know how, got in, found this robe and this silver and this gold and quietly, secretly took them and hid them in his tent. It may have been secret to everyone else in Israel. It was not secret to God. God saw his act. God saw what he did. And God is able to pick Achan out of all the people of Israel. You can almost imagine
you know, Achan's thoughts as they hear these instructions through Joshua. Look, tomorrow we're going to call everybody forward, tribe by tribe, and then clan by clan, and then household by household, and then man by man. This is a group of thousands. Achan must have been thinking, how could God pick me out? There are thousands of people here. And yet, as the first 12 tribes come forward, it's the tribe of Judah. Oh, that's Achan's tribe. And then as the clans come forward, not only is the tribe of Judah taken, but the clan of the Zerahites. Oh, that's Achan's clan. And now maybe he's becoming just a bit more nervous. And then household by household, and Zabdi is taken by Lot. And man by man, and Achan is found out. There are no secret sins. There are sins we can hide from our families. There are sins we can hide from our spouses. There are no sins we can hide from God. He sees everything we do. And He is able to call us out to make confession of that sin. God sees and God knows everything we do. It was not a small sin. It was not a secret sin. But at its base, at its root, it was the sin of idolatry, breaking covenant with God. When God speaks to Joshua in verse 11, Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them in their own belongings. God had said, this belongs to me. And Achan, rather than valuing obedience to God, saw a possession, saw a thing that he wanted more. That's the basic definition of idolatry. Having or wanting something more than having or wanting God. It was a perverse sin of idolatry. Achan broke the covenant. We read back in chapter 1, verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Achan turned away. Deliberately, clearly turned away from the clear command of God, wanting things more than wanting obedience. He broke covenant with God. And as a result, Achan and his family and Israel have trouble. Achan at Achor. We see how the sin of Achan is progressive in its character. When Joshua calls Achan out, verse 20, and he says, verse 19, Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord God and give praise to Him. That is, tell me what you've done. Confess your sin. And Achan says in verse 20, truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil the beautiful cloak from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and took them. I saw, I coveted, and I took. The progressive nature of sin. And that sequence to see and to covet, to desire and to take should sound familiar to us. Because isn't that exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden back in Genesis chapter 3? The serpent comes to the woman and tempts her with the fruit of the tree. And in Genesis 3, verse 6, we read, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and when the food was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate." I saw, I desired, and I took. I saw, I coveted, and I took. Achan sees this beautiful cloak from Shinar. Now, Shinar was known for its wonderful weaving. This is no small bathrobe, okay? This is a beautiful cloak from a wonderful place. This would be like the brand names of today. I don't even know what the brand names are. Maybe Christian Dior or Louis Vuitton handbag. Something very, very high class. And Achan saw it with his eyes. It began so innocently, so simply, just to look. But that's how sin begins sometimes. Just to look. Maybe we want to buy new furniture or something for our home, and so we get the Better Homes and Gardens magazine or the latest Housewares magazine, and we just start to look, and we say, "Oh, wouldn't that be nice next to the fireplace? Wouldn't that be nice on that big open wall? Wouldn't that be nice?" And we begin just with a look. Maybe it's something out of our price range, like these robes from Shinar. Begin to look. And before long, that action with the eyes moves to our heart. Now we not only look, but we want it. And we convince ourselves we deserve it. And we're willing to do whatever it takes to get these things, even if it means perhaps having to cut back on our tithing to church. Perhaps having to cut back on helping to pay the Christian Education Fund. Perhaps having to rob God from what is due Him so we can have what we want. That's exactly what Achan did. He saw, he coveted, and he took. Sin begins with the eyes. It moves to the heart. And it ends in action. There are not many people who wake up one morning and say, "It is my intention to embezzle from my employer today." It begins small. It begins by maybe a little dissatisfaction with our wages or with our hours. And if we can take something from our employer, just something small, it's not that big of a deal. After all, we kind of deserve it, don't we? We're working hard. And little by little, the sin grows and grows and grows. Not many people wake up one morning and decide that day to have an affair. It starts with the eyes. It moves to the heart. And ends in action. The progressive character of sin. We must be so careful what we set our eyes on, knowing where it may lead us. Young people, be careful what you set your eyes on, what you look at, what you desire, because sin is so pervasive in its nature and so progressive in its character that before you know it, you're willing to rob God of what is due Him, that is, your whole devotion, in order to get what you want. That's what Achan did. I saw, I coveted, and I took. And I think perhaps the most frightening part of this story
is the result of Achan's sin. Now, we can understand God's judgment on Achan. He was the one who sinned. He was the one who took the robe and the gold and the silver. And so there is a sense, even in our understanding of justice, that it's right that Achan be judged for his sin. And maybe we can even understand when verse 24 says, Joshua and all Israel took Achan and the silver and gold and his sons and daughters and everything that he had and judged them. Because, you know, you think about it, how does one take gold and silver in a cloak and hide it in the family tent without the family somehow knowing about it? We can almost understand how his family was involved. But the whole community was judged. They went up to battle against Ai, and they were told it's going to be an easy victory. Don't even send the whole group. Send a couple thousand. That's all we're going to need. This is going to be an easy one. And they are routed. And 36 men are killed. God's judgment on the community because of the sin of one man. It reminds us that our actions do affect each other. We do not simply belong to ourselves. And what I do has no connection with you at all. We belong to the body of Christ. And everything we do affects each other. Think about the instructions regarding the Lord's Supper given in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This text is quoted in our Lord's Supper form, but it always stops, in my estimation, one verse early. We read from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." That's where our form stops. What does the next verse say? "That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." Judgment came upon the people because individuals were sinning. We belong together. There is a corporate nature to the punishment that is given. And while it is a terrible thing in terms of judgment that God would come and judge the people for the sin of a man, it is the way God not only judges, but also the way God blesses. The answer to Achan and the corporate punishment given is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and the corporate blessing given. None of us in ourselves, left to ourselves, deserves the blessing of God. And yet God works corporately. We belong to the body of Christ. And because of what He did, the blessings overflow to us. Yes, Achan at Achor is a terrible story. A story of God's trouble. A story of God's judgment upon the sin of His people. But the answer to Achan at Achor is Christ at Calvary, where He took the punishment for all. Where He took the judgment for all. One man for the sin of all His people. And because of that one man and God's curse upon him, the blessing overflows to all. To the community. To the people of God. The Church of Jesus Christ. Achan at Achor is a terrible story of God's judgment. But it points us forward past the judgment to the work of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and the only one through whom we can ever hope to have blessing. Left to ourselves, no hope. But because we are connected to the body of Christ, because of the corporate way in which God works, because of what Jesus did, the blessing overflows to us.
May it be that that is what encourages us from this story. That we walk away not simply thinking of Achan and Achor, meaning trouble, but Christ and Calvary, meaning peace for all God's people. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank you for the truth you have given us in your word. Stories about your way with your people. That we might be instructed, that we might be encouraged of your way of dealing with sin and dealing with blessing. Lord our God, encourage us tonight through this word, that knowing we belong to you, we will continue to want to walk with you. We'll continue to receive your blessing and your peace when we stay in the path of righteousness. May we not go our own ways. May we not allow our eyes to wander and our hearts to be turned and our actions to go against you. May we keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus and walk in the path of peace. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.